be fabulous. That would be fabulous.
I don't think I can talk that loud.
You got somebody older than me that can have my seat. Mike, you got somebody older than me that can have my seat.
So, thank you all for coming. Our special person for today, Linda Ford, is the spokesperson for EDC. Advocating proper planning is a group of people just like you and I that got together so many years ago when there were some projects in Upper Road that we felt were not adequately planned. And it wasn't against any one of the group of people, it was in bad planning. So, I will introduce Linda, she's our spokesperson, and she will introduce the rest of our volunteer staff.
It's on. It's on. You can say to talk.
Okay. Can everybody hear me now?
Try it out.
All right. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. My name is Linda Ford, and I'm the chairperson of EGCAP, which, like Kathy said, stands for Elk Grove Coalition Advocating Proper Planning. We formed, a group of us formed this EGCAP to work on several projects that came forward to the city that just were not proper planning, and we've been successful. I'd like to thank you all for coming, and like Kathy said, we'll try to keep it short and sweet. We have Steve Detrick here, who is a new Elk Grove City Councilman for District 3. He and myself and two of my neighbors were the founding members of EGCAP. Today, we're going to have, we have Steve Lee, Kathy Lee, and Connie Conley, and they're each going to talk, give you some information that we've found and sort of a plan of action to attack the problem and give you some options. We've had some handouts, and we didn't expect as many as here. I think we had like 130 copies, and we've run out. So if you can share, there's contact information that we've provided.
We do have plenty of those.
Okay. So we have a sheet of contact, phone numbers, addresses, emails. My own personal cell phone number and email address is on there, so if you want to contact me, please feel free to. And then the other that I know not everyone got is just a small agenda that to keep us on task that Connie put together for us. So I'm going to go ahead and give it to Steve and let him take over.
People don't usually have a problem hearing me in the back, so if I get too loud, let me know. How about that? I'm going to give you a little history of the plan project, the plan parcel over there. And does everybody know what we're talking about, what parcel we're speaking of?
Yes.
Does anyone not know what parcel we're talking about? Okay, all right. Lux Taylor is a local developer. He owned that property. His information is on the sheet that you're going to be given with the contact information. I recommend you contact Lux Taylor and let him know that you have concerns, if you have concerns, with the 24-hour Walmart going in with four sides of residential housing around it. He needs to know. He can contact Walmart. He's the one that sold the property to Walmart. He can call Walmart with any concerns you may have. If you don't have any concerns, you like Walmart, you can call Lux Taylor and tell him thank you. That property was originally planned, Lux Taylor had a plan for supermarket. That fell through due to the market downfall. He didn't think that they had a buyer for a supermarket in that spot, especially with the Nugget going in over across the way. Target came in and was interested in purchasing that property. Pursuant to that wish, Target received city approval and entitlements to the property to build a 148,000 square foot Target on the far back property line that relates to Poppy Ridge and Bruceville. That wouldn't be up close here on Whitelock, the far back parcel. Now Lux owned the entire property from White Lock back to Poppy Ridge. He has sold the back portion of that property to Walmart. When he sold that property to Walmart, it already had the entitlements for a large commercial property. And when he sold that, those entitlements passed to the new buyer, which was Walmart. There's no mention of or restrictions of hours of operation on conditions of approval related to the Target. Therefore, the city stance, as I understand it now, is that they can do nothing to stop them from going 24/7 because there were no restrictions placed on the Target at 24/7.
See, that's not true. At the meeting with Lapelle here, he said it was limited to 10 p.m. How was that meeting?
That's not part of what the city approved, though. That's what Lux Taylor told you. The city did not care to put that into conditions of approval for the property. Your issue may be with the city on that issue. And maybe Mr. Detrick can answer that question if he cares to when we finish up here. So there's no regulation also in the city zoning code, as I understand it. I have not reviewed that yet. I have been told by the city there's no regulation in city zoning precluding 24/7 on that property. I do not know that for a fact. I've done nothing to research. I'm relying on the city, what they've told me. I will do the research on that to confirm whether that's the case. Also, there's a big box ordinance in place here in Elk Grove. Basically, that indicates to retailers, potential retailers, that certain size buildings, so the big warehouse buildings, they're limited to certain places they can build them. The big box ordinance precludes big box stores, like 148,000 square foot would qualify under that, would be part of the big box ordinance. However, Pat Hulme, our mayor, specifically lobbied to have that set aside and exempt from the big box ordinance. You may have an issue with Pat Hulme, you may want to contact him, let him know of your disapproval if you do not like the big box placed over there on White Lock in Bruceville. We have maps placed around the perimeter here on the walls. Feel free to look at them. That is the maps as they were approved for the Walmart going in. It has no bearing on where the Walmart will be situated. It'll be, I'm sorry, the Walmart, the Target, if you see the big item here, that's the Target as approved, okay? Now, here we have White Lock Parkway. Here we have Bruceville Road. Here we have three paths. Okay, over here is Del Webb. Del Webb is right up here. Here we have three retail pads, all for multi-tenant retail. Three little strip malls here. Here we have an approved Walmart, a Walgreens 24-hour drive-through. Here we have a McDonald's. And here we have the Target, which has been approved evidently for the Walmart. So if you understand what's happening, that's
square footage is 148.
That square footage approved is 148. Walmart, according to their plan with the city, what they told us, they want to reduce that footprint for that Target store to 99,500, which is approximately 30% less footprint than what you're seeing here. The additional space, according to what I've been told, and it's now you have to remember or realize here that Walmart has not yet submitted an application for that Walmart to the city yet. They've just purchased the property with the entitlements. They've told the city, I talked to the mayor on Friday night, he indicated that the additional 50,000 square feet was going to be parking as opposed to more retail. So we're going to increase parking here, say a third of this will be additional parking if it goes through as Walmart's told us what their plan is. They're planning on including a grocery aspect to the Walmart. And one interesting point, I think, is when EGCAP was founded, their initial fight was against a Walmart placed in a residential area. It was the wrong fit. It was not proper planning, so to speak. Well, interestingly enough, this property where the Walmart's going in is surrounded by residential on four sides. The same exact problem, but it's been approved. So again, interesting information, you may want to take some notes here as I'm talking, if I hear anything, if you hear anything that may be worthy, because I'm going to ask everybody here to contact the city powers that be, contact Walmart, contact Pulte Homes, let them know that you're upset and why you're upset. So please take notes and feel free. Now I'm going to ask everybody here if you can inundate the city, inundate Pulte Homes, inundate Walmart with your concerns and your problems with a 24/7 store. If you have those, and I know some people are here going to say, I love Walmart. I can go shopping at 3 in the morning when I can't sleep. That's great. I appreciate that, and that's fine, but I'm thinking the majority of the people here have a problem with the 24/7 store.
Yeah, that's the aspect. It's a 24/7.
And that's really what our issue is today. As I understand it, and it's reasonable to understand that you really cannot tell a retail business or a residential person, you can't live here or you cannot build here. That would be discrimination. You cannot do that. But what you can do is see that it's run so it doesn't affect your quality of life and that it's done within a reasonable parameters. Okay, that's all we're asking here today. I think it's really all we can ask. We can ask the city for future time, please in the zoning code, put in some restrictions on 24/7 commercial buildings. And I think they're looking into that now because I think they all understand this has been a big problem that it's been created. No question in the back?
Yeah, I'm just curious. I didn't know if you were going to make your comments.
Okay. According to every city council member I've said, that's exactly the words they've told me. Do I buy that? Not necessarily.
I personally am very disappointed in our city council and in Mr. Lutz Taylor. He came out here and met with our Glenbrook residents several months ago. He told us it was going to be a target. We told him we had concerns about operations of any of those businesses beyond 10 o'clock at night. He sat here, they wrote down all this stuff and said, project, we will make sure all of those concerns that you raised are included in the plan. Now, also my understanding that the plan was presented before the city council in the fashion in which we had all agreed. Shame on them.
Okay, well, the problem with that, now I can appreciate that, and I truly believe that's factual, what you just stated to me. Okay, now, I'm going to get a little bit into city government here real briefly. I don't want to get too far off, but you have to understand the people that set up those conditions of approval is a private contractor that the city's contracted with, and they get paid by approving more buildings out here. Every time they sell something and they approve a building, they get some extra money. And that's who's running our planning department. It's PMC. It's called PMC. They're a private corporation the city is contracted with. They have no vested interest in our quality of life or what goes on in Elk Grove. Now, in defense of the city, 2 weeks ago, they hired a new planning director who was supposed to oversee all the contracts and make sure everything is above board and everything is kosher with what the citizens want. Well, that's been 2 weeks now. He's a city employee. That's the planning director. His name is on your list of contacts. I would suggest you contact him as well. Let him know of your issues. His name is Don Hazen. Contact Mr. Hazen. He is the one, as I understand it from talking with the planning department, holds the key to something called substantial compliance, which I'm going to get to in a minute, which is the key to what you can do if you're upset. So let me move forward from that. Does everybody understand what I've said to time up to now? Okay. Let me talk to about the citizens' concern. I think the only issue that we can really address here is hours of operation. That's the only thing we may have a legitimate recourse towards is the hours of operation. We cannot argue, and I want everybody to understand this. If you write letters, if you call people, you cannot call and complain about, I don't want Walmart in my backyard. That's inappropriate. That's illegal. That's discrimination. You go there, they're going to blow you off. It's just a NIMBY, which is called not in my backyard. That's what it's called in nomenclature for city planners. Don't go with attacking Walmart. It's not going to work. No one's going to hear you. No one cares about that. What you do care about is your quality of life and the the issues are going to be created with a 24/7 large retail development in your backyard. That's how you attack this. The quality of life issues, you were told by the city it was a target. You bought your homes informed, knowing it was a target, and then the hours of operation would be...
They never notified
them. No way.
They never notified
them. Okay, hold on. First of all, can we ask one question? I meant to ask before we even started. How many people here do not reside in Glenbrook? Most of us from out of Glenbrook. Okay. When you say you weren't notified,
no one.
What did you think was going to go on that parcel of land over there?
Safeway. We never knew.
Safeway. We never
saw it. Safeway.
Yeah,
we
heard
that. It was
a Safeway. Well,
one at a time, please.
We were instructed that there was going to be a small strip mall similar to what's across the street now.
Uh-huh.
Possibly a Walgreens, maybe a supermarket.
Okay.
It was my understanding that Pulte Homes sold off some of their land, which enabled them to then bring in the Target, because it gave them land to work with so that they could rezone it and build a Target.
That's correct.
So when these people bought their homes, myself included, there was no plan for a Target to go in.
Right.
That's okay. Right.
Taylor Properties had a website called Vineyards at Madera.
Correct.
And there was no mention of a big box store then.
Okay.
Another question is that regardless as to whether it was supposed to be a Target, now it's going to be a Walmart, did anybody have a problem with hours of operation? Because say it was a Safeway, then for 8 to 10 o'clock.
Yeah, he was told us that it wouldn't go past 10 o'clock.
Okay, so that's what you all understood, that it would have set hours from 8 in the morning until 10 in the evening. So are you okay with is that something that you're okay with? I'm assuming that those that knew of what... Okay. So those that were okay with the hours of operation at 8 in the morning, 10 in the evening, could you just raise your hand so we have an idea? Okay. One of the biggest things, and then I have to stress because I've been through this before, is that the property owner has certain rights of what they can build. They own the property. They have to follow the zoning code and the general plan and that. As long as they meet that, that gives them the right to build what they want within those codes. However, a 24/7 operation is outside of the norm and what was expected. It creates, and Steve will get into that, it creates a whole other level of issues that have to be addressed and inspected. But as Steve said, if you're anti-Walmart, great. If you're pro-Walmart, great. We went through this because we had people on both sides. And our issue was the project, as designed at this site, does not fit. You have a similar situation with residential on four sides. They're going to scale it back, but the hours of operation does not fit for a residential neighborhood. And that's that has to be your primary focus, because like Steve said, they will not listen to you if you just say, I don't want Walmart. They will dismiss you. And you want to be heard, so you just, being up front, I got to let you know that.
Do you or the gentleman live in this area?
No, I don't live here.
No, I do not live here either.
We all live on the...
Are you anti-Walmart?
No. And that's what we have to really be sure here today, is that as long as they built a commercial retail establishment on this square, they could build any retail establishment. It could be a Walmart, it could be a Costco, well, a small Costco, as long as it met the zoning. But they could put a JCPenney's here. It doesn't really make any difference as long as they fit the zone. So they switched on you from a Safeway to a Target, to a Walmart, to a JCPenney's, to a whatever. And they can do that. They can do that time and time again. They just have to stay within the zone, the zoning code, which all of these commercials do. So you really, we really, unfortunately, can't say we don't like Walmart or we don't like Penny's.
Okay,
what you don't want is you don't want a 24/7 establishment. And really, from our expertise, and we're not really all that expert. We've just been through this several times with the city. That's, none of us have any degrees in planning. But our best bet at looking at the documents that we've been, that the city has given us to look at, our best bet is the 24/7 aspect, is that that is most intrusive to your lifestyle.
One other thing that's pretty intrusive, however, and just as you thought on Sheldon Road, what about the roads? They're increasing a third of the parking. That's a substantial increase in the amount of traffic that's going to go. And what about the roads? Are they going to change these roads, or how do you get from White Lock to the freeway?
Let me take a shot at that. Let me take a shot. In the plans, they do show for improvements for the ins and outs. There's going to be four ins and outs of into the in and out of the place. There are some improvements to the roads that the developer has to provide. And apparently White Lock is going to be an interchange on 99. So they're going to improve White Lock all the way from this point to 99 and put an interchange in there. So that's all down in the road. How much longer, we don't know. Yes. We don't disagree with you. We do not disagree with you.
You're saying about what should we talk about.
Right. And
something I want to talk about.
Right.
We haven't got it.
It's on our list. But we just really need to be sure that everyone realizes that this is not an anti-Walmart campaign, because that is not what we're against. Okay. So let's go. So we have probably three things that we think are the most that we can hang our hat on. That we can bring to the city that are true issues that they have to look at. And Steve's got those three or four.
Okay. So we talked about the 24/7 aspect of this. It's going to, let them know it's going to, if you're interested and you want to write a letter, it's going to negatively affect your peace, enjoyment, and solitude of your home. That's what you lay out there for them, because it does. And it affects your property values as well. A 24/7 store is what I'm talking about. It's well documented also, let me finish up real quick and I'll get back to some questions here. It's also been well documented that there's a substantial increase in police department calls for service in 24/7 establishments. Another issue, you have crime that's going to be in the area due to the fact that you have 24/7 establishments. Walmart officials have stated on city record they cannot keep their lot, their parking lots and stores clean on the Elk Grove store due to the fact that the store is small in size. Everything's stacked to the ceilings. They run 24/7. There's no downtime where they can get in and clean the aisles at the store. No downtime where they can get in there and clean the parking lots, and that's why it's an undesirable area over there. Well, this store is 20,000 square feet smaller than that one. So think about what that's going to bring to you, okay? So you got size as an issue. It's 20,000 square feet smaller than the existing Walmart on Elk Grove Boulevard. Yes?
Will they be closing the existing Walmart?
Well, what they've told us is they're kind of keeping both of them open. My opinion, my opinion is there's a plan one for a big box, which is properly zoned out at the new Promenade Mall, whatever that is, built out on Grantline Road. What they will do, they will put a big giant superstore in there, probably 240,000 square feet. And at that time, if it's already closed, one on Elk Grove Boulevard will probably be closed at that time, I would think. Now, that's just me speculating. That's what I think. Somebody with a question, yes.
I've done a lot of work for Walmart over the years. I work for Oracle. And what will happen, based on their business model, this store, when this store opens, that store will close because it's costing them money to run it. This store will become that. There's one on Florin, there's going to be a superstore, and that'll take up this area for them.
They told the city, as I understand, and I've talked to several city people involved in the city government, that they've assured the city that they're planning on keeping it open.
Yeah, they've been under libel.
I understand. I'm just telling you what they've told people, okay? I'm just passing along information. Okay. Secondarily, there's been no traffic study done on traffic patterns for a 24/7 store on the approvals for this parcel. So they're going to have to go back and do a new study. If we can demand it, if we can get them to do it, we can get the city to employ someone to do a 24/7 traffic study, which may create some issues there that may help us. So again, when you contact the city, you contact these people, Lux Taylor and Walmart and Pulte, tell them we need traffic studies done to find out what's going to happen out here 24/7 at 3 in the morning. You usually want out helicopters out there with the call and service for the police department at 3 o'clock. You got a helicopter overhead PA system going. Just things to keep in mind. Interestingly, now this is important because this may be a kind of a feather in our cap here. There's a 55 and older community in Galt, right off of Twin Cities Road, on the east side of Twin Cities Road. It's not a Del Webb community, but it's a 55 and older community. There is a Walmart going in there adjacent to that property. Interestingly enough, the city of Galt has demanded, and Walmart has acquiesced to limited hours of operation. So there you go. There is a precedent, a Walmart precedent, they have restricted hours of operation in the area. Put that in your cap and pass that along to the powers that be. Because that's huge if you ask me. They've already set a precedent for that. And it's residential on one side I've got right here. So there you go. We've got it on four sides. Question in the back.
Is it a possibility to get them to not sell liquor, firearms?
No, I don't believe so. Well, I'll let my city council member speak to that when we're done. Maybe you can take a note of that and address that when we're done here. Yes?
It happened to be at the meeting when this project was presented to the city council. And with the information, that was before the meeting we had here. And they were very complimentary of Taylor Properties as one who builds a much better than average shopping center. So when they were here, it was very nice to see with the Target. I was really ambivalent because I happened to face Whitelock. And I'll admit I didn't do my homework very well as far as understanding the future Whitelock. I talked to the recently retired planning director for the city of Elk Grove, and within about 12 years, there are supposed to be 28,000 cars a day that go down Whitelock.
More information for you people to put in your letters and your emails to the city people, the people that be, that have, that hold the powers, the
power
powers
here. 24/7. The other things that we asked them about was the lighting that would face Whitelock. And a lot of work had gone into more subdued lighting that wouldn't be a problem, especially for night skies and reflecting. And then also the basic design. They had arbors and pathways going over to the center. So my question is, in addition to the 24/7, I think we ought to push very, very hard for trying to maintain those conditions and those design elements that were presented to us and others. Because that is the way Taylor usually develops properties, and I hope that Walmart can't just wipe those out.
Okay. I don't think that's, I think that that's not the case. I think that if you look over here on our map here, I believe, as I understand it, Lux Taylor has sold the portion that my hand is over to Walmart. The section up here that adjoins Whitelock Parkway, this is still, all the conditions, everything is still in place. The lighting restrictions and everything are still going to be there. I don't think that's going to be changed at all, as far as I know. Personally, I've got a question here. If you've got a 24/7 Walmart that sells $4 prescriptions, and you've got a 24-hour Walgreens here, what can you not buy here that you can buy here? Cheaper here. So why would Walgreens want to remain in that spot? I don't know the answer to that. I want to ask Lex Taylor and Walgreens what they think about that as well. In the back.
Walmart's kind of known for RV parking.
Yeah, the 24/7. I know over on the Elk Grove portion, there's people that actually camp out overnight on the property because it's open 24/7. They say, hey, we're shopping. And they sit there and they dump their feces, waste, in the parking lot. And that's something that, you know, unless you get caught, hey, it wasn't me. So those, again, those are issues. Those are Walmart issues. What we need to deal with, though, is 24/7. If you can go in there and park 24/7, it's not a Walmart issue. It's a 24/7 issue where you can go in there and park all times of day and night, spend the night there if you need to, you know. And that's what goes along with 24/7 retail. So, again, issues you need to be aware of and concerned with.
Phrase for that is called transient permitting.
Transient permitting. Everybody got that? Write that down. Transient permitting.
It's basically
they allow transients. Now, not saying somebody that's in a motorhome is a transient,
but that's the phrase that they use.
Okay, now, what we can hang our hat on here, there's a term, and I just learned this yesterday, or not, on Friday. I went to the planning commission, went to the planning office in Elk Grove on Friday. I said, look, this is different than what was approved. Why is this still approved if it's different? And she goes, this is a lady from PMC who works in the planning department. Says it's considered substantial compliance, and that's a key term, substantial compliance. What they're basically saying is the new plan does not substantially deviate from what was already approved. Well, now, if you ask me, 50,000, a third of the building being removed, and hours going from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. to 24/7, those are both substantial deviations. So it's not substantial compliance. I've contacted my attorney who helped me through an issue against the city of Elk Grove. I said, if you've got the difference between the two, the size and the hours of operation, is that substantial compliance? He says, in my book, no, it's not. He goes, you can fight that. But the key to that, the caveat to that is, if it's not substantial compliance, Walmart can say, well, you know what? We'll build 148,000 square foot Walmart, now we're in substantial compliance. Well, that's the risk you run with that one. So just keep that in mind. But that is an issue. But you can argue that substantial compliance 24/7 is enough to get you through that. Whether it is or not, I don't know. There may be some case law on that. You may need to look into legal counsel if this thing goes forward. Now, keep in mind, and the one that understands, I haven't said this yet, but maybe I didn't say it. The application is not on file. Walmart has not filed an application yet to build over there. So it's still kind of in the embryonic stages as far as that's concerned. What we need you to do is we need you to contact the powers in the city. What I'm talking about is the mayor, Pat Hume, the city council members, the police department, Pulte Homes, Lux Taylor, Walmart, and you need to lobby for restricted hours for your quality of life issues.
And the planning commission.
And the planning commission. You need to put pressure on them. If you choose to, if you have an issue with it. Now, how many people are having a problem with the Walmart at 24/7?
Don't have a problem.
How many people, okay, raise your hand if you do not have a problem and you're happy that Walmart's coming in? Okay. 24/7. Okay. All right, that's fine. Okay, we need to contact the mayor, the city council, the police department, Pulte Homes, Lux Taylor, 1 second. And lobby Walmart for limited hours of operation. They do have the precedent in Galt that's local. So please fight that. Write letters, write emails to these people, make phone calls to them. Again, we have a list of all the contacts that I'm talking about up front. Please do not leave today without picking one up. If you can't contact everybody, contact a few. But unless you want it done, you got to take action. A couple things you can do here. If Pulte doesn't If Pulte doesn't want to assist us with that, they have promotional things going on out here all the time. Go out there and pick it up. Say, hey, you want to buy a house here? Walmart 24/7, we'll get across the street. Let them know, and that'll get their attention really quick, and they'll jump on the bandwagon, they'll support you all of a sudden. Yes, Frank. As soon as we're done with our presentation, we will let Councilman Steve Detrick is here. We will let him speak with your questions and speak to the Walmart issue. Yes.
Has the city addressed the increased cost of infrastructure that will be needed?
I don't think that they think it's substantial. I don't believe they do.
Please,
I could be wrong. Mr. Detrick probably did deal with that better than I can. I'll let him answer that question.
I just want to thank EG CAP for being here and organizing and planning this.
Thank you very much.
I'm just curious, in your experience, how hard is it to fight a company on issues once they're in? Let's say they're in, it all goes through. I'm just curious, in your experience, how hard is it to go after them on issues once they're in?
That's why you fight them before they get in.
Yeah, I know, but it's not going to, you know what I mean? In reality, there's going to be issues after they're in.
Well, I think that, and this is just my opinion, I haven't researched it or anything, but we do have a code enforcement department at the city. So, you know, they come and look at your yards to see if they're well maintained and such. So they should be looking at businesses in the city, make sure their trash is cleaned up and any kind of enforcement issues that way. So I believe that there is an avenue to pursue it, but you have to be on them continuously.
One thing we're going to ask all of you to do in being proactive is there's a council meeting this Wednesday, the 11th. If you show up in mass like you are right now, I guarantee you the city council will sit up and take notice. This is how you fight City Hall and win. One person can make a difference, and we've done that. Look at around you, at all of you together. Can you imagine the voice if you just stand up and say, this is a quality of life issue, Walmart is welcome, but if all of you in agreement, majority rules and want the city council to address the 24-hour issue, you have a right to be heard. And we are going to go before the city council on Wednesday and ask them to look at that quality of life issue. If you're all in agreement and would like to join us, please come Wednesday, 6 p.m. You will be there probably for 1 hour only. And hear from the city council. They are your elected officials. Let them tell you why this 24-hour Walmart is a good fit for this location. You elected them to represent you and do your bidding. So now you need to take them to task. And that's why we went and walked precincts for 6 months to elect Steve Detrick to do our bidding for us. So you have to decide on your own if this is something you want to do, because it's a fight that can be won. Yes, ma'am.
Can I ask you your reasons for not wanting Walmart?
It's not that I don't want Walmart. It's a 24/7 issue. The only issue, because the Walmart that we have over here has the most calls for service in any Walmart in the entire region.
Okay, so that's
the only issue. The only issue.
Otherwise, you would let Walmart.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
You live around here.
I live over in the Sheldon area. And the only reason that EG CAP is here is because we were asked to put together this meeting. We did so. Residents of Glenbrook. We invited all the council members to come.
I was one of the people that asked because, number one, it slipped in under the radar. It was like all of a sudden I heard that there was going to be a Walmart had bought out Lux Taylor's property. I didn't feel that I had enough information or that I had any input into what was going on. And I knew that this organization existed as a grassroots organization that had been formed originally because there was a Walmart, but that was an advocate for people who felt that proper planning needed to be done. And I asked if they could add, give us some ideas if we didn't feel like this was a good idea. I said, could you maybe share your insights with us? You've dealt with issues like this. And so, you know, I'm proud to stand up and say I was one of the people that asked these people to come and give us some information.
Thank you. They have not even put in their application as yet. So, she asked when the date of completion for Walmart. They haven't even put in their application. That is why if we're proactive now and go before the city council and ask them to work with Walmart. We happen to know that two of our council members will be meeting with representatives from Walmart coming out from Arkansas on Thursday. So you have an opportunity to voice your concerns to your elected representatives on Wednesday night before they have that meeting on Thursday, if you so choose, again. So, you know, we're a democracy in Elk Grove, and, you know, there are going to be some that want that 24-hour Walmart, and, you know, God bless them, but there is a majority that seem to be in this room that would like the council to entertain the ideas of limiting the hours of service. So, question, ma'am?
Well, I think also something to think of is if the purchase just happened and the trust hasn't completed yet, if we come out and voice, they may even withdraw their offer. You never know.
Yes, ma'am.
Are there any Walmart anywhere that are not open 24/7?
The one in Galt was a similar situation. That piece, the property that was in Galt was going to be another subdivision of a 55-plus community. The owner of the property sold it to Walmart. The Galt City Council was proactive in working with Walmart before they built and limited the hours of operation. So a precedent has been set. We have asked our city leaders to talk to them about doing the same thing. Yes, sir.
I have a question. The apartment complex that's going in across the street here was rough-shotted through everybody, and obviously it's a very high-density, low-income property. What I found out in calling the Planning Commission is that they're using an environmental impact study that was done before this whole development was even put in. Does anybody know the legal requirements as to a time frame or a limitation on environmental impact studies? And if so, how can we force them to conduct a new one for this area? Because the information they used from 10, 12 years ago is obviously not pertinent to today.
I believe that's the Laguna Ridge specific plan.
Right.
And they did the EIR, and once it's done, it's done.
It stands forever?
Yes.
Or?
That's my understanding. Well, they only have to refer back to the Laguna Ridge specific plan and the details there. And if that piece of property was there, and I'll let Steve talk to that, because where I live, I'm under a Calvine 99 SPA that was done, I want to say, 20 years ago, and it still applies. But I'll let Steve answer that.
Do you want me to start with just answering that question, or do you want me to? I'm Steve Detcher. I'm your newest city councilman. Just so you know, all five city council members were invited, and looking around the room, I think I'm the only one here. You know, I want to, first of all, I don't know, did anybody read the Sacramento Bee on Friday?
Yes.
Does anybody believe everything they read?
No.
The quote that they had in there relative to me being okay with this project was after about a 5-minute interview with my questions and concerns. But they didn't print any of my questions and concerns. So it changes the story. Anybody ever heard of Paul Harvey? Well, this is the rest of the story. So I apologize for any heartache that anybody may have received from that, because it is not correct what was written. There's a question in the back.
Well, I just wanted to say thank you for clarifying that, because one of the reasons that I personally voted for you was because you were instrumental in presenting the Walmart over in your neighborhood.
Absolutely.
And so when I saw the article and reported that you were okay with this over here, I was kind of horrified.
Yeah, well, this is probably the worst I've ever been thrown under the bus by a reporter. Probably the last time that reporter's ever going to get an interview. As far as the zone, is the EIR, typically when you have a master plan on an area, the EIR is done, and as long as a project meets what the original zoning was, if there's a rezone and it's substantial, then it could cause the impacts where it will require a specific EIR for that particular project. I'm not sure whether that was already zoned for apartments or not.
It was changed to RD20.
From
which
what?
Which allows for 7 units per, or a certain amount of units per acre. And
RD20 is 20 per acre.
20 per acre, right. And so they're doing 27 per acre over there, and it falls under the guidelines of if it's government assisted, then you can do higher density.
Yeah.
And it's a good example of someone, A, dumping waste materials into the runoff area over there. There's a blue pipe sitting there draining hazardous chemicals right into the ditches. But the other thing is that I can't believe any environmental impact study, if it was done today, would ever approve that kind of project with the issues we already have in that intersection. I mean, you just had an armed robbery there 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to help anything out when you have high density. The police aren't going to be able to get to that situation quick enough.
I agree with you. You know, unfortunately, with the high density, there's local, state, and federal requirements that, and it's not that the city's in agreement with it, but you have to comply, because if you don't, they'll actually come in and mandate what properties that they'll actually come in and convert
to
zoning.
They need to give a certain number, but not where you locate them, correct?
They, if you don't do it, they will decide where they're going to be.
Yeah.
It's a pretty, Folsom actually did not comply, and they've now forced them, they're going to have to be building in the northern area of Folsom, and they're being forced under the guidelines. Now, do you guys have some other questions?
Does anybody else have any more questions?
Has anybody approached KCRA or any of the news media to try to get publicity on this thing?
Not yet. With Steve was the chairperson, I was the media representative for EGCAP, so yeah, I'm well-versed on how to get a hold of him. It's one of those that never know if they're to come.
I'd like to invite him to this meeting that's coming.
Oh, we will.
We have a great turnout.
We will. And I believe Steve is going to talk. I'm not sure. We haven't decided, but I will definitely be speaking on Wednesday night. And the one thing I should point out, it's during the public comment portion, so during public comment, you get to go up and give your 3 minutes if you choose to speak. The council does not have to respond. A lot of people don't understand why they don't address their questions. They can choose not to respond because it is for public comment only. So if they choose to respond, if the cameras are there, they usually all choose to respond. So, but the more people that are there, from experience, and the more people that are there, and you don't have to get up and speak. It's not everybody's cup of tea. It's really, truly not mine either. But you know, if you want, then you can.
I have a question that kind of goes back to something that you mentioned briefly, and that is the police activity. I tried to go onto the Upper Police website and use their crime mapping and I put in Walmart address and came up with absolutely no hits. How can we get the data?
Okay, the numbers that we received when we have been doing this is we went to Councilmember Jim Cooper, and he pulled the statistics for us. But he's the captain of the Sheriff's Department. But you can go to, I'm not sure who would do it in the police department, but we have on the contact list. We have the new chief's email address, and you can ask him for that, and he will get one of his officers to pull that. They'll pull that information up for you so that you can get it.
The chief of police will be at the meeting on Wednesday. He comes to every city council meeting, so the chief of police will be there to hear those concerns. So.
Yeah, and what Jim Cooper did was he pulled it for countywide so that we had a comparison with other 24-hour operations so that we could see the comparison.
Not a question, just a couple of comments. The McDonald's condition of approval included limitations on the drive-through window. Is that a matter of ordinance, or was that just a condition the council chose to impose?
That was a CUP, a conditional use permit. Yes. I know that they wanted to go to 24/7 themselves, and they were denied 24/7.
It has been done right next door.
Yes, and I think that, to me, the most significant is that you have a 55 and older community in Galt, and we're talking the 55 and older community here, and Walmart set the precedent themselves that they would reduce their hours.
Does Galt fall under the outgrowth sphere of influence?
No.
That never finished?
Okay. No. I don't believe they've broken ground.
They haven't broken ground yet.
Yeah, and we're, like Steve has said a couple times, there is no application in yet. And when that comes in, that'll be a big packet that will show design perspectives and the whole bed.
Does this fall under the Living Ridge specific plan?
Yes, I believe this parcel is part of that because it was its own commercial.
Yeah, so they have to follow the rules.
Right. Exactly. Okay. But again, it is private property rights.
Right.
They have to follow the zoning code and the general plan, and that's why we're saying that the 24-hour day, 7 days a week aspect is what to stand on, is one of the items to stand on, because that brings in quality of life and those issues.
If you guys want to check out the property that they're talking about, and you go on Twin Cities 104, it'll be across from Rayleigh's, so there's not even anything on that side except for a few farm homes. And then the 55 over community, gated community, is right behind Rayleigh's and across the street, and it probably both areas is less than 100 homes.
And I believe there's I think there is a school there. Of how parents were taking their kids through school. Someone had brought that up as an issue. I'm not really familiar with the area, but one of their biggest concerns was traffic.
Mm-hmm. How are these streets zoned? White Lock and Bristol. Are they zoned for commercial 24/7 traffic?
The streets aren't zoned.
The streets, there's no zoning for the
streets. There's no weight restrictions.
I'm sure though that it's zoned for commercial.
It has to be zoned for commercials for, you have a strip mall that is going to have Mack trucks or whatever, so I'm sure it complies with that. I don't know. That's something that would go to Public Works to get that information.
Excuse me, I'd like to hear.
Yes.
I've been to city council meetings before, and if we do not show up in mass, and we do not have representatives who are prepared to speak on behalf of this community, my experience was they were very patronizing. And it was apparent to me that the issues that were being discussed with this gentleman addressed earlier had already been decided. And so I'd like to just throw out a suggestion that people either we all meet here at the lodge at 5:30 and carpool. I'd like to suggest, or get your friends and neighbors, I'd like to know how many people actually know where the town hall meeting is held and how to get there.
lived there. Does everybody know that?
No.
Okay, so that, maybe that would be the information to share. And it might be that our representatives or directors might be appropriate.
They have too much security.
The agenda has been posted, and Steve says there's a couple of closed session items on the regular, okay, half a dozen items on closed session on the agenda. So,
I'm just saying that it may run, we may, it's...
I realize that, but you may breeze through it.
It's not going to the meeting will not necessarily start at 6 o'clock because they have a closed session prior to that. So it's not going to start right at 6. I'll answer in a minute. The city council, what she was saying is that perhaps people that wanted to go to the city council meeting could come here at the lodge, meet and carpool over to City Hall. I have to read the address off because I just drive there by memory. It's 8380. It's on Laguna Palms Drive, and you go Elk Grove Boulevard as if you're going to the freeway, and it's Laguna Springs. You turn left onto Laguna Springs, and you follow that down, and it'll be on your right-hand side. You'll see that there'll be something that says City Hall, but then they'll say like the police station, and you can see it there. It's the city council chambers. So if you get there at 6 o'clock, it is not necessarily going to start right at 6 o'clock because they have a closed session prior to that.
And they ended up coming home, having dinner, and going back. So it was like 9, maybe 9:30.
Okay, and that, and like she said, as she went to Target, the meeting, and it was later.
There for a long night.
Well, this is not on the agenda. That's the thing, is this item is not on the agenda. The Target was on the agenda. Where we can speak and address this as it is at council comments. So once they welcome everyone and do the Pledge of Allegiance and they have one or two presentation items that should be short, then they open it up for public comment. So if they were to start right on time, public comment could start at 6:15, 6:20. Yeah, or it could start sooner. So that's why if you can be there at 6 o'clock and hopefully they are able to start right on time, and then we can in and out. We estimate an hour of your time.
Is someone from Walmart going to be presenting this idea to the city council?
No. Walmart will, generally with an application, whoever it is, the developer goes and will meet with council members. The application goes in, and then it goes into the planning process, and the first real presentation is with the Planning Commission, I believe.
Yeah, having moved from Camden and fought for each people here to ward off that Walmart and that deal, we went to several meetings, and I went to Charlie and Paul that this is going to be just the beginning of the battle. So, conserve your energy.
Pace yourself.
But be calm. Because 6 o'clock, as many of us as we can get there, we should be there at 6 o'clock. 7:30, you'll be out. You don't need to stay for all the rest of the meetings. You just need to make that one statement. When it then goes into planning, and there'll be additional meetings, that we'll probably get emails from you, because I noticed we put all our email addresses on this list. And it'll be nice to be a group, a strong group, and we look for leadership here to advise us as to when we should meet again. And it isn't that we all have to know so much, it just is that we get some strength. Now, also, know this, Walmart will have people there too down the road away. We saw lots of them get up and make some great speeches about how wonderful it is to shop at Walmart. People love us. And they even had a video, a camera. I mean, they really go out to show the audience that they're warm, friendly people. We don't have any problem with that. It's 24/7. And it isn't that we're trying to put Walmart out of business. We want to have it managed.
And I want to make a point is that you don't all have to know a lot about everything, and with this community there's a lot of experience and life experience, and you know, I don't claim to know that much about any of it. It's just, it's a learning process. So I know that there are people in the community.
I was going to ask if any Walmart stores have security guards at all.
They do. I can, that I know for, that I should say, not, they have their loss prevention inside the store. And I know that at this Walmart they have a security patrol. I don't know if that's just Walmart or if that's a cooperation amongst the businesses for that park. Yeah, but I do know about the security. So, but I know they patrol the whole parking lot.
I just want to say I will be here at 5:30 on Wednesday. I hope everybody else will too. We'll just go over there as one group.
I'm buying children who work at Walmart in Target. Walmart's have over time changed their hours of operation while they were in a community. Some of them were not 24/7, some were backed off to the 10 o'clock time. What keeps them from doing that after they've agreed to a time frame? Holidays, a lot of stores start staying open late, and I think after the holidays, a lot of people forget that they weren't supposed to be on a normal basis. So how do you keep them to that to get this reduced?
An ordinance?
Well, if they agree to it as part of the application process, then they are, they're bound by it, I believe.
Or unless there's an ordinance in place or a restriction in the zoning code, which we currently don't have.
Yeah, and what we have to do is we have to get something, an ordinance in place in the zoning code to restrict those hours of business, or allowing the council and the planning commission to have a say-so over whether a commercial operation should be 24 hours or not, dependent upon what the surrounding community is. I mean, we know that the gas stations are 24 hours a day, but those are in, you know, certain areas. They're not in the...
You can base it on size and location.
Yeah. So we need to, as citizens, we need to work on that to get that done. You have...
I want to take a couple minutes. First of all, thank you, GCAP, because they did an awesome job. Maybe they did a good job. And I'm extremely impressed with the turnout of the citizens. You know, I was up on this side and in your side over the last 5 years, so I understand your thoughts and your frustrations because I lived them. Now it even makes it more complex being on the city council. Because not only do I feel your pain, I have to listen to the developers, and I have to listen to the city staff, and so, you know, I have to try to keep as good a balance as I can. But my, you know, my heart's always there with the citizens, because, you know, you're the ones that we work for. But there are, you know, there are some legal ramifications if we don't follow the law. I just kind of wanted to cover a couple things. You know, I thought Steve did a great presentation on laying out kind of where we started and where we are. As far as the Galt store, I would presume that those restrictions on their hours were done during the planning process where they can do those conditions. The problem is we've got a different scenario in this project because they're piggybacking on the conditions and approval that Target has already received for that property. So depending on some of the items that Steve and Kathy referred to, if everything is considered within a reasonable scope that uses what Target already got approved with Lux Taylor's project, the city may be legally bound to abide by that, and Walmart walks in under those conditions. And my understanding is currently under the zoning code, there is not any restrictions anywhere in the city of Elk Grove for business hours. I was appalled to find that out. So I'm already planning on bringing that forward at the next council meeting as an agenda item to get that as an amendment to the zoning code to have a core hour restriction everywhere in the city. And then you need a conditional use permit if you want to work outside that, because not only is this project an issue, any other project that's in town that's existing, so let's say Nugget Market goes out of business and Winco decides we want to add another store in town. If there's no restrictions to the original project that went in, Winco can walk in there and change it to 24 hours and nobody can do anything. And that's not right.
That contradicts everything that was just told to us.
No, I don't think it. I think it's pretty much what...
The beginning of the meeting?
I was here the whole meeting.
We were given hopes that we could fight the 24/7.
Well, wait a minute. Let me finish. Well, first of all, I wasn't on the city council when this project went through planning commission or city council. But even at that, as much as we've been involved, even Mayor Hume was on the planning commission, he had no idea this trap was in there. So sometimes you don't find out a problem with something until the problem's exposed. What I want to do is kind of bring you at least up to speed with what I know, where we're at. It is a done deal that Walmart bought the property. That closed escrow a little over 2 weeks ago. I believe it was January 23rd. And as Steve said, Walmart has not filed an application with the city of Elk Grove as of Friday. Walmart has met with Elk Grove executive staff to review Target's entitlements for this location and to see if they can put a project within that would meet that. And as was mentioned earlier, Walmart's proposing a little under 100,000 square foot, which is approximately 30% smaller, or 50,000 square feet smaller. And as Steve mentioned about the big box ordinance, well, we were actually the ones who brought the big box ordinance forward because there was no restrictions in Elk Grove. And our proposal was for 100,000 square foot. And when it got pushed through to the 150,000 square feet. So even this store at 99,500 would have slid underneath the 100,000 that was proposed originally. I've not seen the current footprint of what they're proposing or the elevations, but from what I've been told by staff, it's basically a smaller version in appearance and footprint than what the old one was. So, and those are some of the issues related to the entitlements on those changes. Walmart has proposed a 24/7, and I've been in contact with them personally over the last couple days to encourage them to reduce the hours of operation to mirror what was typical at the Target. Since they already have a 24/7 2 miles away, I don't know how they can really justify that they need a 24/7 at both locations. I've also talked to them about the issue of the RV parking, and they've agreed to take both those items,
back to their corporate. Just so you know, and I think everybody here can testify, that when you work with Walmart, with anybody you deal with, nobody can make a decision except corporate. They just, is, you know, it, but it, well, at least it was encouraging that they were open to take that back, because I've expressed to them that 24-hour issue, even if they are entitled to it by what the zoning code was and what got passed with the Target property, there, you know, there's the intent of the law and the spirit of the law. And I told them, this is not the spirit. I said, if you want to give some goodwill and PR to the community, you cut your hours back and make it where it's palatable for the people. It doesn't, you know, and it doesn't matter, as like they said, whether it's a Walmart or a Target. I have my own personal beliefs on their corporate model. But my personal beliefs really don't enter into where the legal issues fall on this. You know, as Linda said, some people hate Walmart, some people absolutely love them. But that's not what this is about. It gets down to the 24-hour issue. And if the city made a trip on this and left a hole in the zoning code where they can come in, you know, this all went through the whole planning process. So there was public hearings at the planning department, there was public hearings at the city council, and there was nothing that put any conditions on this location. It's a shame, because what everybody did, and I was naive at the time too, you trusted that somebody was coming in, and that when they came in, that's what you were going to get. And if they said, well, our typical hours are 8 to 10, but we don't want any conditions in case we want to expand those hours, that's basically how this got put in. And it's not whether I agree with it, it's whether we may be legally bound to it.
I have a question. Are we legally bound to it if we were lied to by Taylor?
Well, that's between you and Lux Taylor, unfortunately, because Lux Taylor is not part of the city, and Lux Taylor did not approve the project. That, and what they said earlier, somebody brought up here about Lux Taylor. Lux Taylor is one of the more admired builders and developers by his peers, by the council, by the planning commission, and by the citizens. Because he's one of the few that has at least reached out to the citizens. So, you know, I don't want to throw Lux under the bus, but, you know, I'm not sure why he chose to... He got left on the hook for $250,000 by Target on all the entitlements that he tried to do for them. Because what a lot of these big chains do is they tell you, they go, we're not going to sign a contract. If we back out, you're still on the hook. But everybody kind of takes a belief that these big corporations would never do that. Well, guess what? They do.
Walmart to agree to the reduced hours and stuff, we want to make sure that that's also written into the conditions that they agree to, not just, okay, I agree to it today, and oh, it just doesn't mean I'll do it tomorrow, so they're going to change it, because this is a good experience of how that would go. My second point is, when we were in the meeting with the developers at the time for Target, some of our concerns, you know, we talked about issues of lighting and signs and how the signs would be installed. And they agreed, you know, and I said, you may sell this down the road, you know, can you put this in your CC&R? And they agreed to at least put it into the CC&R. Some of the information now, is there anything in those? Can we look at the CC&Rs that they proposed? Are they still binding?
The covenant constrictions are kind of an odd thing. They're not enforceable by the city. They're enforceable by that development. The only things we can enforce are issues that were conditions of approval that were done by the city.
Okay. So Walmart is not bound, now that they bought the property, they're not bound by the previous CC&R?
Well, they're bound by all the conditions of entitlement that were agreed to by that development. And somebody mentioned earlier about the lighting. All those things still have to apply. They cannot make any deviations from that.
Can you, as a city councilman, introduce an ordinance for the 24/7?
No,
working on that.
Yeah.
We are working on that.
And they ran.
If we need new captain, Mr. Jeff, we're working on your order. But you can't welcome back.
Don't make him get it.
You can't grandfather? Come on.
Steve, I'm grandfathering the ordinance that we're trying to.
Typically, there's no grandfathering, because it otherwise, yeah, there's, well, anything that's already in automatically gets grandfathered in for the old, not for the new.
They have vested rights, which means, just for an example, when we brought forward the big box ordinance, the Elk Grove Promenade and the power ring around it has vested rights. It's a whole process that they go through, and once they receive their vested rights, whatever that date is, and I'm plucking the date out of my head, I think it was like June 1st of 2001, 2002, any ordinance that the city passes after that date that they receive their vested rights does not apply. That is why the big box ordinance does not apply to that ring around area around the Elk Grove Promenade, because they have the vested rights, and so there can be a Supercenter large box store there. And they don't have to go back and say, well, we have to come in under the big box ordinance. They have the vested rights, and I believe that is the same case here. You can't grandfather the ordinance in. They've already bought the rights from...
not modified in a specific plan. Because we have no built, there's nothing built here yet as far as big boxes.
I still don't believe it's because you're talking private property rights. They purchased the property and all the entitlements that go with it.
Right.
And
but they haven't applied.
They haven't applied, but... my understanding is since that Lux Taylor applied with Walmart, and he'd already obtained the Target, and he'd already obtained the entitlements. What he sold was the property and the entitlements.
Okay. Yeah, but so, listen, I have a brief question. From my understanding legally, and I'm not an attorney, but I've been involved in a lot of issues, a verbal contract is almost as strong as a written contract. When you say something to a community, and there was maybe 100 people here, on proving that Target project, I made it specific that it would be not open past 10 o'clock. And he showed us a beautiful presentation, and he did his song and dance, and whatever he did. And now we find out that Target project was approved with no hour restrictions, and now he takes that project and he sells it to someone else. I can't see legally how he can get away with that.
The issue is with Lux Taylor. It's not a city issue. I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. But that's the issue with Lux.
I got just a couple more items, and then I'll answer because it may answer your question. One is on the store closure for the second store. Originally, Walmart wanted to have two super centers in Elk Grove, because the store they have was the number one store in the nation per square foot. So it's, as Steve had mentioned earlier, that you had an exorbitant amount of customers for that store. They feel that by building the second store is just basically going to balance it out, that they can barely keep up with two stores, let alone one. And they're not sure whether at some point after they get this store up and running that they may remodel the other store similar to what this one is. Because, you know, this store, I believe, is 20 to almost 25 years old, I think. And so it's definitely needing some a major uplift. And so they at this point, they have absolutely no intention of closing, because they can't even handle what they have for the volume of business. One of the issues relative to the conversion of the Pulte property from residential to commercial, that had to go through the whole public process as well. It went through the Planning Commission, and had to go through city council with all public input. So somehow this passed through. Maybe it wasn't enough of an issue. Maybe not enough people even lived out here at the time. That was probably what part of the problem was. So, but with that, so if you moved in after that went through, then that should have been something that was part of your white sheets that you get with, they refer to them as when you buy your property, that's commercially zoned.
Yeah, they usually have the disclosures.
Target has...
They only have to say who's going to be in there, just that somebody's going to be there.
Is there a way that we can get a copy of those guidelines that said this is what Target is going to do?
Yes.
The city has reached it.
Kathy already has a copy of them.
We have to know exactly what Walmart can do, and we can address the things that Walmart should not do.
Yes. Kathy's got a copy of it right up here. By the way, anything that goes on at a public meeting, anything at City Hall, whether it's City Council, Planning Commission, emails that you send to the city, those are all public records. If you ever want to copy of that, you can send it to the city clerk.
What Steve has here, and Steve Lee went down and pulled this file, and Kathy requested additional documents. And there was a form, I think it's site criteria, or so it's a Target form. And it talks about the hours of operation. And it says store hours, and it gives the store hours. It says Target and Super Target, because Target has a Super Center model as well. And it lists the hours as 8 to 10, with the exceptions of what they do at holiday time, once Thanksgiving comes, and they're open until 11 and that. So that is in the file. So again, the assumption is that, I'm assuming, and that's not the right thing to do, but this document's in the file, and it says they were going to operate 8 to 10. Therefore, that restriction should apply to the new commercial retail, 8 to 10. Not 24/7.
Okay, related to, what we can do here, show up for city council, voice your concerns, or at least show up to support. If you don't want to speak, that's fine, but be there so that we can show that there is a lot of people that have issues with it. There will be people there to speak on your behalf. Feel free to speak if you have your own concerns, by all means. I had another point here, but I've lost my track here. I'll give it back to Linda, and maybe I'll regroup here and get back to you on that.
Does anyone else have any questions?
Well, yeah, I'm a bit confused. That piece of paper that Steve has is saying that Target is open from 8 to 10, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden we find out that it was approved for a Walmart store to be 24/7. But if they're restricted to that, how did that happen?
Okay, it hasn't been, that's the point, we're at the point that there's not even an application from Walmart yet. There's no application on file, nothing has been approved. And that's why we need to jump on this now before this comes up so that we can do something about that. But that's the point, is that in this file it says that Target will be 8 to 10.
And what
so
was
then
was
why would not the new business be restricted to that? I have a question in the back.
There were several of us when we found out about the Target going in across the street. There were several of us that went to the Planning Commission meeting, and we spoke, and our concerns were the signage and the lighting and the hours of operation. And we were told by the Planning Commission, not just Taylor, that they would be restricted, that the only thing that would have an exception would be the one drive-through for Walgreens, and then they would make sure that the lighting did not affect those of us that lived on the other side of White Rock. So our own Planning Commission turns around and they're saying they're going to help us, and they agree with our statement, and they don't put it into the plan.
It, as far as the Planning Commission makes a recommendation to City Council.
Well, how do we know when the Planning Commission, when we go to them, because that's our steps.
Right.
That what they have presented, because we went to the city council meeting, and again, we were told that all of our concerns were taken care of.
Well, when you go to both the meetings, there's always a presentation that's done, and then obviously there's deliberation by the planning commission. They make their vote and recommendation, it goes to the city council. And then city council hears the same proposal with all any adjustments that may come from the planning staff, listens to citizens' additional comments, and then votes on that. Again, I was not there, I have not read the minutes of that meeting, but I've asked explicit review from our executive staff, and they're saying nowhere in there did the city ever condition this project to any time limitations. It met everything within the zoning code, which has no limitations. The document that they're referring to, I don't know if that is a target document that was included in the package, or whether it's a, because it had a target letterhead on it, that might be what their typical business model is. But unfortunately, if you don't make those a condition, they can flex their hours. That's why it's very important when a project goes in that you make sure that the conditions are put on that project.
It would appear to me that even if this was part of target application and background information, that was taken into consideration when approving this project. Had they stated in that the out, you know, even if they hadn't addressed it or if they had stated that it was going to be 24/7, then the issue might have been addressed by the Planning Commission and the City Council. I think the fact that that was part of their documentation was certainly part of the overall reason for approving the project, and possibly even for not putting the condition in there, because it had been presented as that was part of the project. So I think that's a substantial deviation from the assumptions that this project was approved on. So I would hope that Walmart and the city and the planning commission and the residents can all agree that that's just not acceptable.
Yeah, and I agree. We have to go back through the document and see what the final approval, because a lot of these things that were proposals. So the final approval by city council is what is the recorded document. No matter what the proposals coming up to that point were, and the request from the citizens and the request from the builder, because a lot of times the builders want more than the citizens do, and then there's an adjustment, and somebody try to find a happy medium that will please both sides.
Conditions is a time restriction for the drive-up, drive-through on building 2. Is there anything in the condition?
Which is the Walmart.
In looking through the documents, we just got these on Friday, so we haven't had an opportunity to read through all of them. The only hour restriction or timing restriction is for hours of operation for the drive-up, drive-through of building number 2 from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. And building number 2 is the Walgreens.
I thought you said there was a restriction on the McDonald's.
They applied for 24-hour.
And were denied.
They were denied by the city.
Wouldn't that be a limitation then?
Yeah. And to echo what this lady said, because Target came forward with the hours of operation in their initial letter to the city, it became a non-issue at that point, because at the time it was going to be 8 to 10. So no one thought to say, okay, is it going to be 8 to 10 forever? Because they came forward at the very beginning to tell everyone in the community it's going to be 8 to 10, which is what Lux Taylor said. I have an email from him from Friday that said the same thing. It was going to be 8 to 10, therefore it became a non-issue that this was going to be a 24/7 store. And so with that said, do we have a leg to stand on with our city council, with Walmart, and having Lux come forward and have the Walmart people and come to a meeting? We could. We just have to be willing, as the gentleman in the back said,
go the distance if you, this is something that you want to fight for. If you don't, then, you know, you get the 24/7 Walmart and then there's nothing we can do. If we can go in on the front end and be proactive and get our leaders to back us, we have a shot. Nothing is set in stone, as we found out. You just, again, you have to be willing to do the work. And you can start by going back and making phone calls. Come to the meeting on Wednesday. Bombard the city council with your emails. Make your voice be heard. I guarantee you they will not ignore you. They don't ignore us, do they, Steve? So, you know, you just have to be willing to do that. We're your cheerleaders. We'll be there for you. The media's here now. We'll get them there on Wednesday. And I tell you, the city council does sit up and take notice when the cameras come in. Believe you me, they sit up straight and pretty and they can't wait to get on camera. So, trust me on that. We've done that before. So we encourage all of you to please show up. And if any of you want to speak, fill out a blue slip. Take your 3 minutes at the podium and let your voice be heard loud and clear. They won't ignore you. Yes, sir.
The limit on time for speaking at the city council, I know that they are limited to two minutes.
Three minutes, and if there's an exorbitant...
How many people can speak?
If many, anybody, if there's 100 people...
It's a limited time on the city council's, on their...
But
under agenda, it's an hour or 5 minutes.
Public comment is limited to 3 minutes on any item. However, if there is a large number of speakers, the mayor can limit it to 1 to 2 minutes, depending on the number of speakers. However, this mayor seems to let people talk forever. So, but you do have to fill out a slip. But because it's a non-agendized item, This issue can only be brought forward at public comment at the beginning of the meeting. So if you're late and you want to speak on this, after Mayor Hume closes public comment at the very beginning of the meeting, you're SOL, unless you're there on time and fill out your blue slip. We encourage everyone to speak, even if you echo what the person before you was saying. Get your name on the record and say, and if, even if you say one or two sentences, it makes an impact. And they will pay attention. This is something that Steve lobbied for when he ran for office, because the citizens have all were shut out of the process. And so that's something we fought for.
And you're at the beginning of the process right now.
And so this is why it's so important that everybody, and we will send out press releases and we will get the media there. Yes, sir.
If Walmart was able to buy Target's rights in this transaction, we have Walgreens sitting in there with a time frame. They could sell theirs to whoever.
Absolutely.
Could do the same thing. So nothing over there really is
broke.
Exactly. Yes, ma'am.
I would recommend that the P&Z get started right now on the time frame amendment.
Well, and we are going to ask, we've asked Councilmember Detrick and Mayor Hume to entertain the idea of an amendment to the zoning code, because again, this could happen all over Elk Grove if we don't be proactive and tie up that loophole. And there will be some other things with the CUP. A lot of all the other areas get the CUP for the drive-through, and some have been told no because it's been a quality of life issue in other areas. They don't want 24/7 activity in these retail centers. We have to address that right now. Do we want that in our community? There's a lot of people that say no. And the city council and the planning commission have listened and denied these CUPs. So again, it has to be about what all of you want. And if the majority is, we want them to take a look at that 24/7 issue, then it's by law and by rights and by moral obligation, they should look at it. And that's...
It should be a special use permit.
Correct. Yes, sir.
My question, McDonald's, from what you just told us, has limited hours of operation. Hypothetically, what would happen if McDonald's withdrew its application to put a complex there and moved McDonald's into a 24/7 Walmart? They're in a 24/7 Walmart right now. Is there any restriction against that?
Not at the present time.
But I don't... believe you have control over what's inside of the store.
So in other words, McDonald's can theoretically get around the 24/7 rule by putting it into this Walmart.
That's correct. And again, we have to tie up that loophole in the zoning code. And Councilmember Detrick has given us his word that he's going to be bringing up the council comments and deliberations, which will be at the very end of the meeting. So sometimes these council meetings go until 11 o'clock at night. But you can, if you have a computer, you can watch it online if you don't want to stay for the entire meeting. But we urge all of you to contact your city officials starting tonight. Let them wake up Monday morning to a lot of emails saying, we want our voice to be heard. Yes, and he answers every single one, by the way.
If I'm here, so you don't have to email me.
And he also puts his personal cell phone number, which is 715-8065. Calling him.
Okay, everybody's getting ready to leave here, so real briefly, again, I just want to reiterate, be a city council, write letters, write emails. What we need to do is get solutions to the issue, not just complaining about the issue. So if there's anybody out there with something that they can think of that says, hey, look, why don't we do this? Let us know. Send it to the city council members. Let them know what they can do as solutions, not just complaining about the issue, okay? For instance, they're going to want to build a super center out at the promenade. Say, look, you want that to go smoothly? Help us now. We will make that go smoothly for you later. Make it hard for us now. We'll make that hard for you later. And that's going to be twice the size. So, they have something to balance off. Okay? We've got the opportunity for possibly of a legal action. We have that leverage on them, possibly. So, let them know what we can possibly do to make Walmart say, well, maybe we should do what these citizens want. So let's come up with some solutions. Send them to your city council members. I want to thank everybody for coming today. I appreciate everybody's time on a Sunday. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.